a New Year's message, first one of the year, first one back. New Year is all about recalibration, isn't it? And no doubt you've got your new desk planner, your calendar, you've got some resolutions perhaps. But of course, the primary thing as Christians that we're recalibrating to is this. We're recalibrating to the God who has promised to make all things new. And it's not about calendars, it's not about resolutions, it's about aligning ourselves with him today. So I didn't have time to come up with a better title than this. Three truths to live by in 2025. It's a bit bland, isn't it? But it's going to be good. I did think, you know, could I get a rhyme with 2025? You know, how to thrive in 25. How to survive in 25. Staying alive in 25. It just went to dark places. So if you come up with a better summary title for this message, great. But here's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to focus it on these three verses. Next slide, please, Taffy. Thank you. Which say these three things. God is able, God is faithful, God is sovereign. Each of these verses starts with these words. It starts with these words. starts with these words. Now to God. It's all about him. Now to him who is able. And at the start of this year, let's realign ourselves to him. That's the primary message. And we're going to look at Ephesians 3:20, Jude verse 24, and 1 Timothy 1 verse 17. It's so important that we know at the start of this year that God has our past, our present, and our future in his hands. And these verses tell us all about him and what we can rely on him for in these coming months, to allow us to make him the song that we sing, the story that we write. You know, in Revelation chapter 12, there's a group of believers depicted. And it says that their enemy, the accuser of the brothers, is accusing them day and night. And it's a picture of the opposition that Christians face, you and I face. And here's the thing about it, that Satan, our enemy, he doesn't give people a day off. He doesn't take Christmas holidays. He doesn't say, have a couple of weeks off church. I know we've had a couple of weeks off. He doesn't say, hey, you know, I'm not going to do my usual opposition stuff. You just have a nice holiday. So often we come to this point in the year, and as Guy was saying earlier, we just feel a little bit unsettled. We feel like, gosh, New Year's here. I feel a little bit disconnected from God and from people. And the enemy has just been working relentlessly. It says in that verse, next slide, please, Taffy. It says, these believers, they triumphed over their enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They had like this double-barreled shotgun, if I can use that phrase. They had the blood of the Lamb. What Jesus had done for them, finished, the finished work of Jesus on the cross and through his resurrection, to forgive their sins, to give them eternal life, to give them a relationship with God. It says, you who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He's our source of confidence. We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. But it also says this. It says they overcame by the word of their testimony. So there's two things about God. Firstly, what he's already done. And secondly, his people celebrating and talking about what he is doing and has done in their lives and how it's impacting their life and how it gives them hope for the future. They kept speaking about what God had done and was doing in their lives. And this is going to be a short message because my hope is that in a few minutes' time, we'll have an opportunity to worship again and to share some stories, to share some testimonies of God's faithfulness to us and our choices to keep living for him. Now, sometimes we associate the word testimony with a happy ending. Isn't that right? Testimony is like a woohoo, feel-good story. Am I right? No? Yeah? Okay. Well, that's usually what we do. It's somebody gets healed, somebody gets raised from the dead. Yeah, that'd be an amazing testimony, wouldn't it? There's a breakthrough we've been praying for, a new job that we were really asking. Oh, God, thank you for the we've got a testimony to share. These ones in Revelation chapter 12, it says, the word of their testimony, they didn't love their lives as to shrink from death. The word testimony is associated with the word martyr in the original Greek language. And their testimony was this: you know what? We didn't value the wrong thing with our lives. Here's the amazing testimony that every Christian can have. It's not whether God breaks through every time we pray. It's this, that we value the right things, even in the face of all opposition and even in the face of death itself. That is our testimony. So later on, as we worship, we'll have a chance to share some stories. Here's the word. Here's the song that we're to sing then, these three verses we're going to look at. Firstly, from Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now God is able. It says, now to him. Next slide, please. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You just have to say amen to that verse, don't you? It's just an amazing verse. God is able. God is able. That's the first truth that we're to live by in 2025, and that he can do already more than we think he can. That's encouraging, isn't it? He can not do just more than we think he can. He can actually do immeasurably more than we think he can. And his blessing is not based on the limitation of our humanness, but rather on the enormity of his power. God isn't limited. It says in that verse, he is not limited by our asking. That's our praying. Isn't it encouraging to know that God breaking through and God answering prayer, it's not dependent on how good your prayers are. New Year is a good time to recalibrate those things, but God is no way limited by us. He's not limited by our imagination. We could rephrase that. He's not limited by our lack of vision for our lives or our lack of vision for church or for his kingdom. He's not limited by those things. We are. We get into a right grump, don't we, about things. But God, no, he's full of vision and his power is limitless. God isn't limited. He is able. We can tend to be fatalistic. As intelligent people, we can make plans based on just normal narratives of how things go. I'm taking my car for an MOT in a week's time. I'm pretty sure where that's going. There's going to be an expensive bill. I can hear it in the noises it's making. We're fatalistic. I won't be surprised that work will need to be done. We tend to be limited. But do you know, when we are trusting in this God, we must recalibrate our thinking. D.L. Moody, the famous preacher, said, if God is your partner, make your plans big. If God is your partner, make your plans big. Wonder what that looks like for you, to believe something beyond what you would normally expect for your life in these months ahead. Because God is bigger than us, he isn't limited. He rose from death after being crucified and laid in a tomb. And that resurrection power is at work in us and at work in our church and in his church and in this world through all generations. So there's an invitation to invite God into our plans this year, to let our diaries be filled with dreams and dreams to shape our diaries. There's an invitation to receive God's power rather than live in the weakness of our own limitations. There's an invitation to act differently based on his narrative rather than our own. So that's the first one. God is able to do more than we ask or imagine. Isn't that good news? Great. Here's point two. God is faithful. It says now, this is in Jude, verse 24 and 25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Some verses you've just got to say amen to. Now to him who is able to keep you. This God, who is so able, is so profoundly interested in you. Isn't that amazing? These verses speak of God's physical and spiritual safeguarding of those who belong to him. We might tend to think that God must be interested in the really big stuff, creating the world, saving the human race, the narrative of the cross and the resurrection and life to come. You think, where do we as individuals fit into that? Well, he seems profoundly interested in us. He's really into you. You know, as there'll be, there's, I know, a number of babies in Kings at the moment. And Julie and I, that was a long distant memory from us now. But I remember that fascination when our children were born of just counting their toes and fingers. And every time they burped, you'd say, was that a smile? I think it was a smile. And then you'd try and persuade your friends that they were actually speaking when they were just baby babbling. You said, yeah, no, they're speaking. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? It's their first word. And people say, I don't really get it. No, as a parent, you see things in your children that others do not see. And you know, God sees you that way. He nurses you as a parent nurses their child. He counts your fingers and toes. In fact, he says he counts the number of hairs on your head. How obsessive is that? Well, that's the God who loves you. He's following your progress. It says, cast all that your anxiety on him because he likes answering prayer. Is that what it says? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What a motive God has in answering your prayers. He does it because he loves you and he cares for you. But it says in this verse, he's faithful to keep you on track. He's faithful to keep you from falling away. He's faithful to guard you against temptation when it comes. He's faithful to strengthen you in the trials. He's faithful to hold us steady in the storms of life that we might be experiencing. We've just spent a term working through Romans chapters 1 to 8, and we would have continued that today. But in these verses, at the end of Romans 8, it says a number of things that God is doing for us right now. It says the Spirit intercedes for God's people. He's praying for you. Secondly, it says, we know that in all things God works for good. He's working for good in his people, for those who love him. It says, for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. He's making you more like Jesus. He's got you on a learning curve. He's transforming you, that you might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's to say that he's teaching you about the family of God and what it is to be his family. And it says those he predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified, he's got you on a journey towards one day making you fully like him in glory. He's praying for you, making you more like Jesus, securing you in God's family. He's committed to your future life in glory. And according to this verse we just read, it comes with glory and great joy. People are unsure whether that joy is actually God's joy or our joy. I think it's probably both of those things. We find great joy, of course we do, but God finds great joy in the transformation and protection and safeguarding and faithfulness he's showing to you. Let me ask you, what challenges do you face this year? You'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. God is with you each step. That was the second one. God is faithful. What was the first one? God is able. God is faithful. Final one, please, Taffy. God is sovereign. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17. We live in a world full of uncertainty. This year starts with uncertainty. It will be filled with uncertainty. It will end with uncertainty on a global scale. Most of what happens will be beyond anybody's control in this room. How can we find peace in these anxious times? By knowing God. These words that we read here are the ones we find hard to quantify, but it does us good to dwell on them. He's the king. He's in charge of everything. And he's in charge of us. He's eternal. He was there before time began. He's immortal. He's never dying and never will die. He's invisible. He's the one who is beyond us. Speaks of his mystery and otherness. That knowledge is rooted in reality. Jesus, the eternal God, became flesh. The immortal was mortal. The eternal became finite. The invisible became visible. Take some time in this new year. Rather than just sort of scrutinize your diary and think how you could be a bit more productive, we all kind of have those pressures. Why don't you take some time to think about God, the King, his eternity, his immortality, his invisibility, the only God. Why don't you stretch your mind this year? Read your Bible and feed on him. Just allow his otherness to feed your soul. He is sovereign over all things. So here's some guidance for us in the light of this truth. To live this year, short as it will be, in the light of eternity that goes on forever. Don't fall in love with the things of this world. It says in 2 Timothy 4 that there was a man called Demas who was once a follower of Jesus. And it says, Paul says, he fell in love with the things of this world. We never just fall out of love with Jesus. We always fall in love with something else. Watch out for that. And there's an invitation to worship God with every moment, to worship the King, to make him your King in every moment. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What was the first one? God is able. Secondly, God is faithful. And thirdly, God is sovereign. Let's take each step of 2025 in that certain knowledge. Let's see his kingdom come here in our lives in Edinburgh. Let's battle our enemy who would seek to discourage us by speaking words of testimony of what God has done and of our own trust in him as we keep walking forwards. And let's just take a moment to pray. And we're just going to keep giving our hearts to God. We're going to finish at about maybe 12 o'clock. But we've got a time just to respond and worship. I just want you to think for a moment, just right where you are. Why don't you just take a moment and just ask God to remind you what he has been doing in your life. Maybe it's a simple thankfulness for salvation. Maybe it's a particular breakthrough that would be an encouragement to others. Maybe it's a trust that you want to articulate in the middle of a difficult season. Lord, we thank you that all of these things are in him, in Jesus, in God. Lord, thank you that you're our foundation, you're our center, you're our north point. Lord, help us to align ourselves fully with you as we step into this new year.